And I would like to thank our singers and musicians being sensitive and leading us into the presence of the Lord. That is an important part of a church. And we are blessed. We're blessed like that. And I appreciate our staff. Again, so appreciate our men working hard, and couldn't do it without them. If I named one or two, I'd have to name all of them, because they all had parts in it. And it is the committees that we have in our district are great to be on, but they are demanding. And fortunately, we have the resources here to help out with that. And the end result is such a great move of God, and we were blessed by that. I want to go to Romans 1:16, and then I'll let you sit down after I read this short verse. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And there we are. He's not ashamed of this gospel, because it is the power of God, end result, salvation. I want to be saved. Amen. Paul said, "Woe is me if I preach this gospel and then become an outcast. I don't want to become an outcast after all of this, after all the joyous occasions and after the sermons I've heard. I don't want to ever miss this. I want to stay close, and I want to continue moving closer to God, because I want the end result." Amen. Lord, I ask your blessings on this, and bless our minds and hearts today, God. And Lord, you have moved in here in a great and in a mighty way. And I feel, Lord, we're just following that beckoning of the Holy Ghost as we go forward. Oh, how great is our God. How wonderful is he in this house. Such a rich presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. And I'm glad to have my wife here today. She's been gradually feeling a little better. Hopefully it'll continue. And a little congestion this morning. And she said, "Oh, I hope it's not another round of that." And I'm believing God that she is going to be all right. The gospel is about saving power. Yes. If you want to write that down, I'll pause a minute, because I don't know if you knew that the gospel is about saving power. God saves us, and it takes power to do that, because it has to overcome our reasoning and our hard-headedness sometimes. Amen? The Old Testament is, of course, the foundation of the New Testament that it's built on. And in the Old, we see there a framework of the New. I remember my house was being built back in 2000, and we would go by and look at the stages of it, and we went by one time and saw the footers dug, and oh my, it looked so little. And not only that, what bothered me is that it was so sandy that the footers were caving in, and I knew they were going to build it all right, but I thought, I hope they'd clean those footers out, because I want my house to have footers. I don't want it to be footers with dirt with a little concrete. I want my footers to be good. And then I went by again, and the footers had changed positions, and it looked crazy. And I called the superintendent. I said, "What's going on with my house?" He goes, "Ah, we had to push it back because the lots are different, you know, and it's kind of pie shaped, and you're going to have a big front yard." So I just wanted to make sure, because my footers changed shapes, and when the footers change shape, that means everything's going to change shape. And so I was all about the foundation until it was poured, and then I was about all the other parts. And the Word of God is showing us and telling us here that the Old Testament is something that's solid and in deep. And in that Old Testament framework, the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. And the cornerstone in the way they built wasn't like footers like we do with poured concrete, but they would have a stone that was perfectly a cube in every way. And from that stone, everything else was measured from that stone. And so it was very important that the cornerstone be laid right. And Jesus Christ is that cornerstone. And I've been around construction, early in my early years. And I've seen a lot of foundations, worked on them and so forth. But that is truly the footprint of the building, is that foundation. And the depth of that foundation tells you how high that structure is going to go. And so Paul is saying that he wasn't ashamed of this gospel. because it didn't start just now. He said, I'm not ashamed because it is, and that word is doesn't mean it just started. It means this thing has always been around, but it's the power of God unto our salvation. That's this gospel that we're worshiping about today, that we feel a move of the Holy Ghost about today. That's this gospel, amen, that my parents took me to church to understand. And it's that gospel that sent me to youth camp when I prayed through and felt a call to preach, amen. And that was this gospel, and I'm thankful for it, that it has the components that will save you and the components that will truly keep you. Amen. 2 Kings 2 and 8 through 14, and we're going backwards here to the Old Testament. Elijah took his mantle. Now, we realize, we know the story, right? And there was Elijah, and he had a predecessor or a successor named Elisha. And when you're kids, you get those mixed up a lot. When you're adults, you might too. But the one, Elijah, he was first. He was harsh. He was a kind of no-nonsense guy. Didn't trifle much with minor things. He just was all about the kingdom of God, and he wouldn't send you a Hallmark card. He might send you a rock with his initials on it. You know, he was crude. He was rough, and he took his mantle and he wrapped it together. He's walked up there to the Jordan River with the man that was going to take his place, and all these prophets were saying, your master's going to leave you today. Your master's going to leave you. They were prophets. They knew it. And Elisha was going, yeah, I know. Hey, I got this. I know. I'm not leaving him. And he tried to leave him in Beersheba. He tried to leave him in Jericho. He goes, no, I'm following you because I know something's going on, and I'm not going to leave you. What Elijah was doing is saying, how much are you willing to pay? How desperate are you to have what I've got? And if you're not desperate enough to follow me, then you're not going to get what I have. And Elisha's going, bud, you're not leaving my sight. I'm right on the back of you. I'm not letting you get out of my reach. And he walked up there to the Jordan River. He didn't know what they were going to do. He wasn't that much of a prophet yet, but Elijah knew what he was going to do. He took that mantle off and he struck the banks of the river, and the river rolled back, and they went across on dry ground to the other side of the Jordan. And those men were over there at Jericho looking, going, did you see what he just did? You remember the last time that happened? We weren't here then. It was way back yonder, but we know the stories. And this man just parted the Jordan River. And they went across, and he slapped that mantle back down, and he shut the river back again. Can you imagine? It's like those sliding doors. You know, you just walk up to them and they open. And unless you're like me, I often walk up to the wrong ones. And I truly, it's a deal. But he walked up and it didn't matter, entrance or exit. He just hit it with that mantle and they parted for him. And I'm sure Elisha's looking back like, okay, that's getting us across. I hope I can get us back. He don't know what's going on. His master turns because everyone knew, the prophets knew, today he's leaving. Today he's leaving. He knows we're probably not going to go back, but I got to get back. What am I going to do? How is this all going to work out? He said, it came to pass when they were going over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, I want to tell you, I don't believe he was just making something up, but I believe God impressed the junior prophet to ask for double what that man had. Amen. A double portion was significant. That's what you would give your oldest son over your youngest son. But to say a double portion of anointing, are you able to handle a double portion? Here's the problem. A double portion, being twice what he has, on a body of flesh, the flesh is liable to get lifted up in itself because of the anointing. And that's why he said, hey, you've asked a hard thing, but if thou see me, you've asked a hard thing, nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be unto thee. He didn't say it's hard to catch a glimpse of me when I leave. He's saying, I'm going to connect the power to you keeping your eyes on the one that's leaving that you're going to replace. That's going to determine, are you willing and are you ready? It doesn't say if it was a minute, if it was 5 minutes or an hour later, but I tell you what, Elisha never let him out of his sight. He was right there behind him everywhere he turned, because whatever happens, I'm going to keep my eye because I want my double portion from you. God's got to bless me. He says, but if not, it shall not be so. And I believe Elisha just took a little notebook out and said, check that off my list, because trust me, I will keep my eye on you and I will see you. It came to pass as they went on and talked. I don't know what they talked about, but I think it was some pretty good instructions. And behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and it parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Oh, that itself was a miracle. But the thing that I'm happy about is Elisha saw it happen. It parted him away from Elijah, and when Elijah went up, he kept his eyes on the chariots of fire until the mantle came floating back down to his feet. He reached down and he picked up the mantle, and there are the spectators over there at Jericho, and they're saying, I don't believe what I'm seeing. What? You're not going to believe it. A chariot of fire just came by, and the master is gone, and Elisha caught hold of the mantle. What are we going to see next? Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He was bestowing on him such a great honor. The chariot of Israel, the horsemen of Israel. What he's saying is, you are the one that has prayed and turned the battle around. You're the one that prayed, and we didn't need soldiers. We didn't need an army, but your prayer was so powerful that it turned the armies around, and you won victory after victory for the people of God. Oh, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. But he reached down and he picked up his double portion, because he saw him whenever he left. The promise just said, if you see me, you've got a double portion. So what he was actually picking up was a double portion of the man that just left. Oh, the power of God was in his hands, because he simply kept his eyes on the prize. He simply kept his eyes on the right thing. He took up also, meaning not only did he see him like he told him to, he didn't mention the mantle, did he? He just said, you've got to see me when I leave. So he took up also. He added to his blessings. He's already going to get a double portion. He could fold the mantle up and put it over there under a rock, because it wasn't about the mantle, but something innate in him. He knew, I want the same mantle. Because what a mantle was your covering. It's your protection. If it's raining, if it's hot, it's my identity. When you see a mantle, you may not understand who's coming from a distance, but you can see the needlework of the mantle and say, I know who's wearing that. That's Elijah's mantle. I can see him a half a mile away. It identified him as a man that had power with God. And when Elisha reached down and took the mantle, he was saying, I'm not content with a double portion, but I want the identity of a prophet. I want the identity of the chariot of Israel and the horseman thereof. And he takes the mantle and he turns, you know, like a man would take a towel. You know how boys in a locker room, ladies, you never seen this unless you have brothers, and they'd twist it up and you'd pop somebody with it. In my mind, ever since I read that story when I was probably way, way young, I just thought about him taking that mantle and just getting it really nice and firm, because he's about to strike the waters with it. He probably didn't do that at all. He probably just grabbed it one of them and slung it at the waters. Imagination's not always good for interpreting scripture. He stood by the bank of the Jordan. He went right back. I'm sure it was to the same place. Might have been a rock that he flipped over so he wouldn't lose his place. Because I want to go back the same way we came. God help those and bless those who don't want to deviate one bit. Not one rock from how they've been taught. Not one stone. I believe he went right back to the same place. And he called on the same God. He didn't walk across backwards. He faced it on just like his master did. And I'm sure he tried to strike it at the same angle, descending blow, right across the top, not straight over. Or maybe it was straight over, but he tried to do it exactly. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to deviate. Why? There's no use trying to change something if it works. Amen? He didn't hit it but one time. I'm going to have to hit it one time. I'm not going to wind it up, cut it in two pieces, and hand it out to others so they can try. It's me. I'm going to do exactly what he did. And it may not look exciting. It may not look heroic. But I'm just going to do what he did so I can have the same results as he had. Amen. We don't need to reinvent the mantle. We just need to say, God, I want to do the way I've been shown. There's not a better way. There's not a greater way. It's the gospel way. Amen. And that is the way. Jesus said, if you're lost, look at me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that believes in me, oh, he's going to do better things than I'm doing because my church is going to be more than I am. Thank God for those that just like to follow the rules. Amen. My wife was a rule follower. I was the opposite. There's got to be another way. She said, I grew up, I was always wanting to follow the rules. The sign said this, you got to do this. Well, it's good. That's safe. Keep you out of trouble. I can tell you about trouble because I went there. I've been in that neighborhood. Rules. What's rules? I had a bike that I could do wheelies on, but I wanted longer forks. So a friend of mine had a bike. He was junking. I said, I want your forks. I took a hammer and I beat them on there. I had a chopper now. Thing about a chopper is you just lift up real easy. And you can do a wheelie just by leaning back. Oh, that was great. It was Easy Rider was a big deal then, you know. And so we were all talking about, you know, the chopper dude. And I put those forks on there. It wasn't built for that. I thought, how light it is. Oh, it was, I just go over a bump and I could come up on the back wheel. I could picture my, now in those days, a wheelie was everything. It wasn't just like something. It was everything. And I'm going down the road and I popped a wheelie. And I'm screaming, trying to get attention. You look, 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 look. The forks fell off. And so now you're either going to do a wheelie or flip over the handlebars. I did as long as I could. And if I go backwards, I'm busting my head and other things. And I just fell down and I hit those forks and I went over the handlebars. And the last thing I thought before I semi-lost consciousness was, oh, I wish the wheel was on the right forks and I hadn't put the wrong ones on there. Sometimes we don't need to reinvent the mantle. We just need to go back to where it worked before and say, let's fast and pray again. Let's do what we did again because God responds the same way over and over again. So the ushers are passing out hymnals. This is called Pentecostal Praises. Everybody's going to get one. No. Say, well, there's some things it's okay to improve on. We sing choruses. Do you remember when we would go to church and sit down and open our hymnals and sit and sing? I just try to think, did we really sit down and sing? You know what? We did. Power of God moved. Churches grew. We sent missionaries around the world. There's common sense in changing some things. The Bible didn't invent sitting down and opening hymnals. They didn't have hymnals. But some of those things we can improve on, and we have. Words on the wall. I like that improvement. Guests can come in and read what we're singing. I like that improvement. But when it comes to the spiritual matters, when it comes to the name of Jesus, when it comes to the gospel, Elisha took that mantle and he went back. And he said, where is the God? Where is the God of Elijah? I got a relationship with you, Lord, but I want to line myself up with what we just saw. I want the power that this man that you just took out of here by a chariot and horses of fire. I want, if I'm going to be on earth and he's up there, then I want to be what he was right down here. And he took the same mantle and he smote the water and it parted again. And those spectators in Jericho watched as he walked across on dry ground. Amen. And when he got across, the river came back together. And now there's your prophet. His name is Elisha. And all he asked for, all he wanted was saying, if you would, just give me a double portion of what you've got. Elijah said, just see me when I'm gone. He qualified. He qualified. Seven miracles Elijah did in his life. Seven miracles. The last one was when that chariot caught him away. And I don't know if Elisha was counting. I kind of think he did. He got all the way up to 13 miracles in his life. He lacked one But they put his body in a tomb.
Yes, sir. Power. Yeah. That's power. Yes, sir.
Because it ain't over till God says it's over. He will always hold on to his promise. It's never too late for God. Elisha died and they took his body and they threw it in the tomb, or put it in the tomb, probably embalmed him, very a lot of ceremony. All right, let's give him honor where it's due. And they put a stone there. And one day some soldiers was carrying a comrade that was dead. And they passed the prophet's tomb. And they said, here, here, let's just put him in here so we can run. And they threw that bones. They threw that body on top of Elisha's bones. And when that dead soldier hit the bones of a prophet Elisha, he come alive. He comes running out of the tomb. Whoa, wait for me, guys. Wait for me. I'm not dead anymore. What happened? I landed on the bones of a prophet. And God owed him one more miracle. And I'm that last one. I'm number 14. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He will stand up by his word. He will do what he's promised he will do. Because we serve a great big God. Can you say praise the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Paul said, my speech, 1 Corinthians 2:4, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Nothing about that that's really going to hold much water. Man's wisdom. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Because that's all it was about, was demonstration. In the Spirit means my preaching was about what God could do. And it was about power. See, this gospel is about the demonstration of God in the Holy Ghost. That's this gospel. It's the same gospel. My parents raised me in it. It's the same one. We don't have the hymnals anymore, but we've advanced. We've got something better, but we haven't done away with any part of the Word of God. No. No, we got it on our phones, got it on our laptops, got scriptures on my iPad. It's still the Holy Word of God. We've just advanced, but we hadn't changed one part of it. Everything I've got is King James. The only holiest anointed word of God there is. New King James is 98% anointed. New Living Translation is about 46. I'm making all of that up. You ought to read the one you understand the best. I've always said that. Y'all know that. Y'all know me. But when the power of God is lacking, when the power of God, this is an important point, that when the power of God fails a little bit, what we default to is our own power. We default to human demonstration. And I've seen humans demonstrate. It's not against the law. I'm not talking about demonstrate. I'm talking about in the church. I've seen human demonstrations. It doesn't offend me. I've seen people in there, it's all flesh. But you know what? A lot of what we do is flesh. We clap our hands in the flesh, but we feel the Spirit. Amen. You dance before God. I remember when we were kids, people would, you know, we had the people that demonstrated like all of us do, you know, out in the aisles and dancing around and acting crazy. And then we had the judges, and the judges were the kids a lot of times, and they'd say, do you think she was in the Spirit or not? Was he in the Spirit? He wasn't. He was in the flesh. That wasn't the Spirit. Where in the world is the Scriptures about that? You thought just because somebody acted crazy, they were in the Spirit and totally out of control. But I promise you there's some control there. Because if in the midst of all of that and craziness going on and worshiping exuberantly like apostolics do, if suddenly I'd get a microphone and say, fire, everybody would listen to that word and we'd be out in the parking lot. We would. Because we got sense. That's how sensible people operate. It is. One time the seven sons of Sceva, they wanted to rebuke a demon. They said, we can do this. They walked into a bad neighborhood is what they did. Because you don't need to just go rebuking demons when you don't even have the power of God within you. And so they borrowed the name. We're adjuring you by the name of that Jesus that Paul's talking about. That Jesus that's doing all the stuff. And that demon whooped them all. Seven grown men run out of the house wounded, unfortunately naked. What happened to you guys? Tried to rebuke a demon by our own power. Found out we had zero. Yeah. See, the gospel is about demonstration, but it's not about people demonstrating. It's about demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Thank God Thank God, thank God. There's no shortage of God's power. And so there's no need to counterfeit what God has an ample supply of. Amen. We don't need to duplicate or replicate it and say this is God when it's not God, because His power is well able to keep us and to help us. And I'm thankful that it can. We can expect the same results as the Acts church, y'all. Same results we can expect. We should walk in here every Sunday going, people are going to get the Holy Ghost. They're going to get the Holy Ghost. Here's why we need to expect that. Because it's that other side of that when we're going, oh no, I wonder if somebody's going to get it. Don't wonder. Walk in saying, somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost. God's going to fill somebody and they're going to talk in other tongues, because this is a scriptural church. It's a book of Acts church. It's apostolic. And God is the one in control in this church right now. And He will fill whoever He wants to fill with the Holy Ghost. If you're here today and you want the Holy Ghost, let's not complicate it. All you've got to do is repent. That means just turn around. Just turn an about face and say, I'm not going to go that way, but I'm going to live for God. I don't know what it's all about, but I'm going to do my best. Repentance means you're turning away from the world. That's it. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. You receive the Holy Ghost, then be baptized. Get baptized, then get the Holy Ghost. Yeah, they did it both ways in the book of Acts, and I'm so glad they did. Yeah. It happens all the time that way. Baptized before, baptized ever. Baptized when you're a kid. Rebaptized when you're an adult, just so you know and you can believe and the enemy don't use that against you. Yeah, you get baptized again. It's all about, we want to be ready. We want to be good examples. And we want to be powerful as we can in God's church, because He needs us powerful. If you come in here weak, then what you need to do is worship. Just start worshiping Him. Because what that does, it kills your flesh and your spirit begins to rise. That's the best thing you can do. You're in a car and you're coming home from work and you had a bad day and you got mad at somebody and you wish you could take back what you said. Don't get in the car and beat yourself up. Start worshiping God. Give Him praise. Just start giving Him praise and you'll get back in God's world. See, we live in man's world a lot, and that's where we get damaged and that's where we feel bruised and beat up. But when we start worshiping God, we step over into a new realm of God's world, and then God begins to bless us and God begins to touch us, and we're no longer in man's world, because we've crossed the Jordan and we had the mantle and we have the promise of the gospel, and we're able to do what we wanted to do when we were in the boss man's office and didn't give him the right answers. But now we're out of there, and we're not going to let that beat us up anymore. We're going to live for God on a higher place. Amen. The woman. Now, I want to bring just a few things out right now, right quickly, and I'm done. Elisha started out, of course, I said he'd crossed the Jordan. Same miracle as Elijah. He met a woman in Shunem. And I'm sure he knows his master's past. Elijah went to Zarephath, and there was a widow there, and you know, she had the little cruse of oil and a little bit of meal, and it lasted 3 years. She goes, "We're eating this last bit of cake, and my son and I are going to die because no water." He lived with her 3 years, and they ate of that every day. There was enough meal, and so Elisha knew the story frontwards and backwards. Her son died. Elijah raised the widow of Zarephath, raised her son back up. Miracle. History says that probably was the one that went with him on Mount Carmel and went towards the sea until he said, "I see a cloud the size of a man's hand." Very likely that young man, protege. But once he left and went to the cave, or went to Beersheba first, that man, you don't hear about him anymore. And God said, "Go get Elisha." Right, there we are, up to the current timetable. And so Elisha didn't meet a widow that was, you know, it was a drought for 3 years, and we have 3 years to go, and just had a little meal. He met a lady that was married, and they called her a great woman of Shunem. And she built him a room on the side of the house. Her husband said, "That's all right, go ahead." And he's up there in that room, and he sends his servant down and says, "Go ask that woman, is there anything we can do for her?" And she sent word, "I'm good." In other words, I'm pretty well set. He said, "She doesn't have a child." "No, she don't have a child. Go down there and tell her that she's going to have a son next year." That was something she never mentioned to the prophet. She never said, "Oh, if only I had a kid." It was such a deep yearning she had for it that he touched a nerve. And she goes, "Oh, Lord, don't say that." You know why she said it? Because she doesn't want to be disappointed again. We don't know. Stillborn, miscarriages. We don't know what it was, but there was a history. And she said, "I don't want to go there." But he goes, "No, you're having a baby next year. She had a baby boy. And I wonder if Elisha was thinking, well, I'm doing some of the things my master did, but he raised a widow's son. She didn't need a son. She had one. He raised it. Oh, well. Oh, Lord, I did kind of ask for double. I'm not worried about it. I'm just wondering if maybe, she had a son. I didn't raise him from the dead. I don't know if he had that conversation. I would have. I'd have compared myself to my master and thought, I told her she'd have a son. She did. Okay. That's it. But then the son died. The son died. I don't think he said, oh, now I got my chance. But I think he understood, I don't think I need to worry about her having a dead son. So he said, Gehazi, take my staff and just go there and lay it on the boy and just let me know. And he rode the mule all the way there, laid the staff. What was he doing with that? Probably the only thing he could do. If there's any chance of life, I just put my staff on. Maybe I don't know what it's going to do. Just put my staff on it. I'm claiming the territory. If the enemy comes in and sees that boy, he's going to recognize the staff and say, he's anointed. Double what Elijah was. And he goes in there, stretches out on that boy, does it again. The kid sneezed 7 times. Dead people, they don't do much like that. And he got up and he said, downstairs, here's your son. I could go into the other miracles, but I'm going to stop. But you get my point? He duplicated what Elijah did and beyond that. And he died with God owing him 1 miracle. And he didn't complain because I think he knew, Lord, it ain't over till you say it's over. We can stand on the promises of the power of God that is toward salvation. It's toward our salvation. We are apostolic. Our doctrine, our foundations are Book of Acts. You can find us in Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians. You can find letters about us and helps in the Word of God. You can find us in Revelation. We're there. We're the Book of Acts church. Where it's all started, where it changed, where God's Spirit fell. That's us. And I don't want to be anything less than the Book of Acts church. Could you stand with me? My. We've been to a powerful men's conference and come home to a worship service that's like explosive, wonderful. And I'll tell you, church, God has done some things here today. Don't go home and doubt what God has done. You need to think about it. You need to embrace it and give God thanks for what He's done, because He's done some things right here today. See, even now, in our human minds, we're going, I know what I asked God for. Why don't we claim that right now? Why don't we claim it? Wait a minute, my life's good. You need to pray for your loved ones because they're suffering. Let's raise our hands right now. Can we do that? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, I thank You, Lord, for what You are. I thank You, God, for the blessings, Lord God, that You've bestowed. And as we stand here with our hands lifted up right now, God, as the body of Christ, Lord, we're saying, God, I want what I've got coming to me. Lord, we've received our mantle today. We've received in our hands a sign of Your power and of Your healing and of Your glory. And we ask in Jesus' name, God, that You give us the patience. You give us, God, the wisdom and the knowledge that we can receive it in Your name, God. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Now, while we sing this chorus, I would ask you, I know, powerful move of God, we think we've fixed everything. But if you're here and you need a touch from God, I kept feeling like while we were worshiping that God wanted to heal somebody that has something that they've had for a while and it's just continuing. And we don't need to know, but if you want prayer, we'll pray for you and expect that God will heal you today. Amen. Deliverance, deliverance. God can deliver today. Yes, He can. Holy, powerful name of Jesus Christ, my God is able to deliver you. C.C. Crawford, when I lay hands on you, I want you to believe with me, God's going to answer your prayer. You're coming down here with faith believing. That's faith right now. Amen. Sometimes faith is pushing a walker, but she's got to get down here because we're going to pray for her. And I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Somebody needs a refresher in the Holy Ghost. Raise your hands. God will go ahead and fill you again. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, according to your command right now, Lord, that we lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. They shall recover. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Do you believe our God is a healer? Yes. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Thank you, Lord. 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 Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Break every chain.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
There is power in the
name
of Jesus.
Yes, Lord God. It doesn't matter how long. God, you're a healer. And you're a healer right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Healing right now, everybody.
In the name of Jesus.
Healing right now.
Break every chain. Break every chain.